SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, into the third hour here on C2C on a Tuesday. Coach James Young is our basketball guru and analyst of choice. That's my boy over there, Stylin. You can catch Betting Above the Rim, his podcast, every week, Tuesdays, Thursdays, I think it is. And we love talking rack. But we got to start with your Mets. They're getting ready to play Game 3 at Citi Field against the Phillies. Do you like them today against Nola to get it done in this huge game in Queens?
Absolutely not. My day's already been horrible. I got up. I thought the world was fine. Sound like it's fired during sports marketing class. I didn't know what was going on. By the way, Salas should have been fired. But Nathaniel Hackett, he must got some pictures of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know how he still has a job. But I do have a feeling, Pharrell, could Devontae be a Jet by tomorrow? Stay tuned.
Wow, so you're calling for Devontae to the gangrene, but you're going southbound on your Mets. I always knew you were a traitor when I saw you at Yankee Stadium drinking beers.
Oh, they were good. Hey, Pharrell, especially that bar next to the store. There you got the free access. Oh no! I'm talking about the one in stadium. That was a nice time. But I will say this, Pharrell. You know what? How about this? The game goes over. Because it's going to get to the bullpens. They're both going to blow it. Both, you know, Robbie Thompson and obviously Mendoza will be short leashes with their pitchers. Even Nola, I think this game smells over.
All right, that's what Carver High is thinking. Nola and Manai out in Queens getting ready to go in a couple minutes. All right, Coach, let's talk rack. I want to start with the Liberty and what they did because – they eliminated the two-time defending champs, and they got it done in Sin City. They lost Game 3. They didn't play well, but Game 4, they handled their business.
Well, simply put, it was Sabrina Ionescu, and if you look at the series, bro, she scored 20 points or more in every game, but Game number 3, that's a game that she only made one shot. So Sabrina Ionescu, particularly in the first half, hitting four threes, obviously the play of Stewie getting a double-double, kind of exercising her demons. Remember that? 3-for-17 game last year Game 4 of the WNBA Finals. But then you start looking at some of the other players, Jonquel, 14-8. Leona Fiamich in the starting lineup with 11 points. They did some things, but to me it's more on the other side. It was the lack of shooting of Hayes, of Young, of Plum, and of Gray. The three starters shot a combined 5 of 18 from 3. I said that was going to be the issue of the series. The Liberty shoots it better. Half-court basketball, you crowd the space from Asia Wilson. Notice, her points prop was 24.5. Pharrell, she didn't go over one time that series.
So let's go back to Sabrina for a second. Because I noticed, and I was Chop at a game on Sunday and hit four threes, and she did it with the release, that catch and shoot. Like, I saw Ionescu literally catch the ball and literally shoot at the same time she caught the ball. There was no hezzy on her fire after the catch. The catch and shoot was pure. Deep corner pocket. Boom. She let it fly. On the wing. Boom. Let it fly. All snap net. And, you know, Chop hit four of them too in a game. I think that she looked fantastic shooting the ball off of the pass. I thought she had it all going. And, I mean, when you shoot like that and you're on, they're tough to beat.
They are tough to beat because now you have that presence. And I think here's the other thing people don't realize. And let's just do with all due respect. Caitlin Clark is absolutely phenomenal. But people forget that Ionescu was Caitlin Clark before Caitlin Clark. This was the Ionescu that in her senior year at Oregon got robbed of probably Oregon was the best team in the country, would have won a national championship because of the COVID outbreak. She goes to the WNBA with the Liberty as the number one pick. After the third game, she hurts her ankle, misses the entire season, the rest of that 2021 season. It took her a while to figure it out. You saw glimpses last year, but this year she played like one of the top 10 players in the world. And when you can put her, Stewie, Jonquel Jones, for real, you got three of the top 12, 13 players in the world on one team. They're balanced, they're big, and they can defend, and they should win the WNBA championship.
Yeah, well, they should. And how many times have they been to the final and not won it? Don't you think they finally washed that down the drain?
Yeah, they are an original franchise that has never won a WNBA title, right? You got to think about the teams that have come before them. Detroit Shock, they were an original team. They won titles. The Houston Comets won three. I mean, those two teams are, for real, those two teams done folded already. So New York Liberty got their first, I guess, championship when they won the Commissioner's Cup last year. This is the one they want. This is
that
an important
count.
Year. That don't count. That's like when the Lakers won. It's like when they were celebrating shit. They were popping that Moe, you know, over there. When the Lakers won the NBA Cup or the in-season tournament, no one cared about that junk. This is the one they got to win. And the New York Liberty will get it done this season.
All right, before we talk about the Lynx and Sun tonight and their big game five in the Target, I want to ask you, I saw that GM report and they picked the Celtics to go back-to-back. Do you think they go back-to-back?
I think they do, but I tell you this much. This Knicks team with Cat, it's a
Let's
different
go,
kind of beast dog. Now, Pharrell, because, listen, when you look at what the Knicks did, they literally looked at Boston. They looked at Boston. Yep, they looked at Boston and they said, what do we need? We need two perimeter stoppers. So they went got two of the best five defenders on the perimeter and OG and Bridges. Then they looked at the way KP buries him from three and says, we got to go get a better KP. And that's Cat. I think this team is going to be really good. And he looked good in the preseason, late in the game. Don't sleep on this kid, Kolek. He could be the backup. He could be campaigner for all. He looked very good in that second unit in their first game against Charlotte.
There's no doubt. I can't wait for it. It's right around the corner doing push-ups or playing all kinds of preseason games now that I don't care about. But let's get it on in the NBA. I can't wait to get you on talking pro hoops all the time on C2C. All right, tonight in Minneapolis. Now, from the jump, I told you Lynx and Liberty. And it's not a stretch to pick those two great teams. They were great all year. I think these three teams that are left are the three teams that should be left. And I thought the Aces had their run, and I thought they weren't that good this year. I thought they lollygagged and didn't take the season seriously like a two-time champ going for a three-peat could have. They just didn't seem to have it every night, whereas the Liberty did, the Sun did, the Lynx did. What do you think happens tonight in Minneapolis? I'm sure you're probably on the Lynx, right?
Yeah, I'm on the Minnesota Lynx minus a point. Simply put, for a way, when you look at Minnesota – they're going to be at home, and the way that they play, particularly defensively, this game, Pharrell, is going to come down to three-point shooting, right? The team that shot better from three has won all four games. So now I'm going to take the home team that's got the better shooting team. Give me the Minnesota Lynx. I thought they were going to the finals when the playoffs started. I'm not wavering now. Minnesota Lynx win, and they cover. They cover the 4.5 points.
Now, I know you got some juicy props for this game tonight. What about that Sun team total?
Hey, shout out to the famous group Black Moon. Who got the props? Coach got the props. And I like the Connecticut Sun to go under their team total of 73.5. So far in this series, 73, 70, and then the outliers at high-scoring games. Pharrell, game five, elimination game, both sides. You know what this means? Game slows down.
Yeah.
And they don't shoot the ball well, under 73.5.
Wow. And that's, to me, the best defensive team in the league getting defensed themselves by the Lynx tonight. And what about Collier? You got some action on her?
Yeah, her points prop was 21.5. I was nervous. So I'm just going to go with Big Fish, double-double at minus 140. Top five in rebounding, top five in scoring. They're going to lean on her, big minutes. Fisha Collier, double-double, minus 140 on FanDuel.
What you call her, Big Fish?
Yeah, they call her Big Fish. Well, I mean, I maybe not, but I just called her, and she's a big, and she's nice.
Coach's programs he's got going down the shore, he's taking over the East Coast. Forget the shore. Coach is taking over the East Coast. He's the best coach in the East Coast. My man's the best coach in the East Coast. That's what's up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, they're underway in Queens, and it's, you know, three up, three down for the Phillies against Manaea at Citi Field. So they're underway. So much for the hockey game.
Yes, so much for the hockey game. I switched over as well, but I will tell you they're scoreless after one.
That's what we like,
in Seattle,
the under.
Which is why we want the under. So,
I think Atlanta is scoreless. Six. I saw it at six.
Yeah, it was bouncing around in a few places, that for sure. So Mets and Phillies getting going. We got our eyes on that. All right, the baseball from last night, I want to just quickly roll that back with you if we can, because there's a lot of stuff from that Yankee game I want to get to. But first, Tigers beat Cleveland 3-0. We left yesterday on coast-to-coast, and it was a scoreless game, I think, in the, what, seventh or eighth inning when we got off the air. Yeah. Scooble pitched outstanding for the Tigers. In the top of the ninth, though, Kerry Carpenter. How about this, Scotty? First player to hit a two-out, two-strike, go-ahead homer in the ninth inning of a playoff game since Kirk Gibson in 88. Here it is on TBS.
Get one on the road before they return to Detroit. Runner goes, pitch is swung on, a high fly ball to right field. This one is gonna fly! A three-run home run! Kerry Carpenter! The Tigers up 3-0.
I mean, I'm gonna ask you once, which home run was bigger? Alonzo off of Devin Williams, a three-run job in the ninth with one out in Milwaukee to win the series, down in the ninth, or that off of Clase, the best closer in all of baseball, who hasn't given up a run since June. I mean, the guy is like money, 47 saves. He's the best closer in the game, and he got torched by Kerry Carpenter. Who the F is that? I mean, which home run was bigger? It's got to be his.
It's Kerry Carpenter. And look, I know it was against the immortal Class A. And let me just tell you something. Every time that they try to tell you someone is immortal when it comes to closing baseball games, none of them will ever be Mariano. All right? I've heard that a lot with Class A the last couple of years. No one will ever be Mariano Rivera when it comes to shutting the door. And you saw why with him yesterday. So the Tigers get that series back 1-1 going to Detroit, which will be game three tomorrow, Scotty. Now, as you know, the Tigers, when it's not Scooble, they keep you guessing. So I'm sure it's going to be one of their bullpen guys that they throw out there to start that game. I'm a little surprised that the Guardians have listed Alex Cobb to start this year. If you remember, they got Cobb at the trade deadline from the Giants after he hadn't pitched all year. He made three starts, a couple in August and one on September 1st against the Pirates. Hasn't pitched since. So kind of strange that they're going to go to him, but he is listed as their Game 3 starter. The Tigers are minus 105, so Cleveland minus 115 and a 7.5. And that actually starts when we get on tomorrow. That's a 3 o'clock East first pitch in Detroit for game number 3.
Well, thank God for that. That's a show saver. And then I'm not betting on Cobb, who's done nothing. His inactivity, to me, how in God's name is he favored? At Comerica, in Detroit, against a team that has been like, I mean, they're like the Miracle Mets back in the day, this Tiger team. How they made the playoffs is beyond me. And that they're giving Cobb that kind of love, that kind of juice he's favored. I'm all over the Tigers to beat up on Cobb tomorrow. He won't last long in that game. That's going to be everything you said it is. It's going to be a bunch of Tiger pitchers pitching, one after the next, inning after inning. And then I think that in turn, that's what Cleveland's going to have to do. They're going to have to use five pitchers.
Lindor hit one way to the wall. So Schwarber did in the top of the first. He hit one to the deepest part in right center. Lindor did the same thing, deepest part. Right center, all the way to the wall, but does not have enough to get out for the first out for the Mets in the bottom of the ninth inning. Scooble, by the way, two starts, 13 innings, 7 hits, no runs, 14 Ks. He has been excellent. No runs through two starts, one Houston, one Cleveland. If there is a game 5, Cleveland will see him again in that spot, which I think there will be. I think there will be a game 5, and you will see Scooble. again in that series.
Like having to, you know, throw a guy out there again. They're going to see him again, and they're going to go through him, you know, one, two, three times. This guy goes into the sixth and seventh innings, and he's giving up no runs. I think it's going to be a lot harder to get through that Cleveland lineup in all those rotations. A first time, no problem. A second time, no problem. I think it starts building. The third time, they have to be very careful. In a second game against them, a third time, that's where you see the analytics department go crazy and that batting average goes up. You see him a third time. Any other guy gets lit up. He is a horse. He is truly a guy. He's going to win the Triple Crown, the Cy Young. He could carry them to the next round. He could carry them to the pennant. That's how good he is.
He is that good. Of course, in the night game, the Royals beat the Yankees 4-2. That series also 1-1. So all four series 1-1. First time ever in the division series that all four series are going to be 1-1 going to the third game. Look, we'll play some of these clips afterwards, Scotty. Forget the Hampson. I thought that Rodon, who came out on fire, struck out a bunch of guys, had a great first three innings, and then it was like a different guy was on the mound in the fourth inning when he went out there. He looked like the old Rodon, but it doesn't matter when the team doesn't hit. I know Rodon takes a lot of the gas for last night, Scotty, but again, they left like 20 guys on base in the game, and they just couldn't get anybody home.
I cannot even believe what I'm watching from Aaron Judge in the postseason. He's literally invisible. He's worthless. He's become Houdini. I mean, honestly, like, his at-bats are so awful. It's like he's swinging at a BB. He has no chance. It is beyond me that a guy with 58 homers and 144 RBIs looks as bad as he does in the postseason. And same thing with Betts. It's inexplicable.
Yeah. I got Judge for you when we come back talking about his slump. So we'll do that when we come back on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Make sure you get the SportsGrid app. It's free on iOS and Android. Go get it. You're going to love it. Follow your favorite hosts like Carver High. You can even watch the network on the app. You can listen to the network on the app. It really is phenomenal. And there's all kinds of stories, highlights, in-game odds, everything. The app has everything. You're going to love it. Check it out on iOS and Android, the SportsGrid app. It's smarter to be on SportsGrid. And also check out SportsGrid-Live on X. You can watch SportsGrid on X now all day, every day. It's crazy. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. All right, what are the Yankees saying headed to Kansas City for games 3 and 4 at the K Wednesday and Thursday?
Yeah, I got a hat trick for you here, especially since you have Denny coming up next. First, here's Aaron Boone on the Yankees going into game number 3 tomorrow night.
How crucial would it be to win game 3?
We got to win two more, so, I mean, as crucial as that. So, I mean, it's playoffs. Every day is crucial, so... Hopefully we, you know, regroup tomorrow and go take care of game 3. That's the next thing in front of us.
How crucial is it?
There's something about them that, like, well, I'll tell you what it is. Aaron Judge doesn't hit. That's what's wrong with the Yankees. And their pitching is average. Gerrit Cole's average. Rodon was worse. And they're going to fire this guy if they lose to the Royals.
I absolutely would do that. I'm not sure they would do it, but I would do it, and you would do it. I don't think that they'll do it because they're spineless.
I'd do it in Kansas City while I'm there.
That would be, you know what? I would do that as well. Aaron Judge now has the worst strikeout rate in MLB postseason history. That's a lot of baseball history. Here he is. He was asked last night after the game if he thought that the week off, they've played two games now in 9 days, if that is the reason for his struggles.
Just for you at the plate, do you feel like this is a timing thing after having that bye week, having a week off and not seeing live pitching?
Not really. We were having live at-bats here every single day, so I wouldn't say the bye has anything to do with it.
It's not the same.
Yeah, like, he has, he really has sucked at a time you cannot suck. The famous torch line. Every time he's up, I think the worst. Like, he's not even going to get the ball on the end of the bat. Like, he's missing by a foot every time, and he swings at everything. I mean, he's automatic. Yep. All you have to do is throw it at the plate, and he's going to miss it. It's unbelievable.
And he's had a couple of spots here in these first two games with guys on base, like, where they have to pitch to him, and he's not coming through. You know, they've avoided him sometimes when there's no one on base, but when he's had a couple times last night, first and second, bang, right out of the gate, and he couldn't get it done. Unbelievable. Now here's Jazz. Now, we like Jazz, okay? We do. We wanted Jazz to come to the Yankees. Yeah. We think he's a good ad. He had the garbage time homer last night in the ninth. But you can't do what he's going to do here, which I think was going a little bit too far. Here's Jazz.
How different does the series feel now after game two compared to after game one?
Still feels the same that we're going to win it, you know? I don't feel like anybody feels any different, you know? We're going to go out there and do our thing still. We still don't feel like any team is better than us. Like you said, we had a lot of missed opportunities tonight, so they just got lucky.
They got lucky.
They beat your ass.
Can't say that. Can't say. That's his first New York media mistake since he's been. You can't say they got lucky because that's just not true. They beat, like you said, they beat their ass. The Yankees left a small country on the bases last night. Like, they, I mean, honestly, you can't sit there and say they got lucky. That was a bad one from
Jazz. And now they got all, now he's the bad guy, and they're just going to go out and they're going to do whatever they can to win. The Royals are not afraid of the Yankees. The best thing I saw last night was my boy George Brett getting involved. Like, George, in the suite. I mean, he is such a badass.
Him
he's
enough.
My favorite player of all time.
I know you love him. We could have, I mean, I think after the fourth or fifth time, we didn't need to go back to him anymore. They kept going to George.
I agree with
that. I know we, George, like, enough. And Bob giving you the stories about George. All right. Okay, we get it. It'll be Clark Schmidt and Seth Lugo. Game 3 tomorrow. We'll obviously spend some more time tomorrow on this. Yankees are -115, Royals -105 as of right now.
Listen, I think the buy is the Royals and Lugo at home over Clark Schmidt. Clark Schmidt has never done anything except be a disaster in the postseason. And this is his first Yankee start in the postseason. And he's on the road at the K against that team that just knocked the ball all over Yankee Stadium. How can you not take that Royals team with that price?
I don't disagree. I think it's the Royals, too.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
To say is Elvis is in the building. You have got to be kidding me. Denny Bernstein from NHL Radio in the fourth period. You can follow him on X at Dennis TFP. And he's in Salt Lake Shakers for the opening of the NHL season tonight for the Utah Hockey Club against the Chicago Blackhawks. And he's already telling me right out of the gates that the arena that they play in has to be fixed because it's so effed up.
But it's not as effed up as Mullet Arena, Scotty. It's twice the attendance. So, look, about 11,000 seats are unobstructed. And there's another couple thousand that you can't get the view of one goal. And so Carver joked it's kind of like Barkley was to the Islanders. But, look, Scotty, even with an arena that isn't perfect, it's way better situation than what they had in Arizona. This team has no excuses now. They're in a better market that wants them there, that has a great owner in Ryan Smith, and people are very excited in the Beehive State. Yes, this is the Beehive State for opening night, so I'm eager to see how it goes.
The Beehive State.
It's like, the Beehive State.
Now, listen, I've been there to ski at Alta, Park City. It's great skiing.
Oh, beautiful.
I mean, it is awesome mountains. What is it like having the NHL in Salt Lake?
I think it's great because the ownership situation. They had a really bad owner in Arizona. And eventually, Scotty, maybe 3 to 5 years, they'll be back in Arizona. But I think it's fine. Everybody's excited. They sold out the allotment of season tickets. I'm sure if tonight will be a very big night. You know, I was at the opener in Vegas. I was in the first game in Seattle. And so we're going to do this one in Utah. So it's really weird because it's not an expansion team, but it's a brand new team. So all the records from the Coyotes, they didn't come over. So it's going to be really interesting to see.
Listen, you just said that they're going to put hockey back in Arizona in 3 to 5 years. How the F does that happen? Like, they have – now, that is just the worst thing. That's the worst thing I've heard since Atlanta deserves a team for a third time. I mean, honest to Christ. I mean, Arizona was an absolute disaster. They need to run from there and never go back.
Okay, so you're going to love when Atlanta comes back in, you know, with – you know, the next round of franchises with expect to expand. So here's why, Scotty.
I think it's stupid. So they're going to appease all those rich white people out in the suburbs that never go to that city. They're scared to death to go to downtown Atlanta. Everybody
they
knows
are.
It. I mean, honestly, but why?
No, I know you of all people.
Time, you got to be kidding me. They should put it in Quebec. Don't get me started.
Well, look, here's the thing with Arizona. It's all about ownership, Scotty. Like, if you get the right owner that builds a building in the right part of town, like Scottsdale, Tempe, like the Coyotes tried to do, they'll go back because it's a top 10 market. And the same thing with Atlanta and Houston. These are top 10 media markets. Quebec City is a small Canadian town with not a lot of corporate sponsorship. So as much as you might not like it, the next two are going to be Atlanta and Houston. And then probably in the next one is going to be Arizona, maybe Quebec City in a long shot, maybe 5, 7 to 10 years. But now, they're going back, Scotty, because there's nowhere else to go.
Just stop, Elvis. No, now, listen, honest to Christ, your boy Carver High is going to have a conniption. He has said it best, better than anybody. How many effing teams is the NHL going to have? 40?
36. Maybe when I'm gone from the planet, maybe 40.
Already.
Yeah, you are. Scotty, when you got billionaires lining up to pay $2 billion and all these owners get to put, like, you know, $30, $40, $50 million check in their pockets for nothing, that's a nice little dividend. So as long as you have great owners wanting to come in and buy, like for Telman Fertitta, he wasn't doing it on his own in Houston, but if he gets a group together, he's going to do it. That's the key. If you look at the ownership, what happened in Vegas with Bill Foley, Bonderman in Seattle, and then Ryan Cynthia. These old billionaires wanting to buy in, and the NHL isn't averse to saying, okay, let's give it your money, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, it's not stopping at 32, Scotty. It's, you know, 5 to 7 years. You're going to see four more teams.
I mean, honestly, those markets you're telling me about are so awful. I am not even listening to it anymore.
Okay.
I mean, honest to Christ. Mafia, get my pills. And the Maalox and the tequila. Honestly, I'm going to have a stroke. All right, Denny, it all starts. It's already happening. A scoreless game that I saw in Seattle. And tonight you got a good one. Florida raising the banner, taking on the Bruins. And then you got your game that you're at, Chicago and Utah. At the end of the day, what are the Panthers' chances of doing it again?
Well, I think that it's really difficult, Scotty, because they went to the final 2 years ago and lost. They won last year. They've played so much hockey. Plus, they've had defections, you know, like Brendan Montour is in Seattle now, and Tarasenko left the team. So it's so hard, and they've played so much hockey. I'm not saying they won't be a dangerous team. It's really hard to pick them to win. Most of the experts are picking Edmonton because when that going to the cup final, losing in a game seven, that experience really might help them. I might upset you and Mafia and maybe Carver High, but I'm picking the Rangers to win it all, believe it or not. So it's going to be.
I know.
This is the worst spot ever for me, talking about expansion to Atlanta and the Rangers winning the cup.
You're going to become a Mormon?
Oh, I'm dressed in white, Scotty. Scotty, I got the white outfit already. All I need is the black tie.
So what about their goalie? He turned down $88 million.
Yeah, he wants – because he wants $96 million. He's trying to set the market to start in New York. He wants $12 million. Yeah, well, same thing with Swayman. Swayman took down $8 million, and he settled on $825. But he wants $12 million. He's still contracted under this year, so it's not that big of a deal, Scott. He's got the entire season to do it. You know, if he goes down with an injury, he's risking it. But, you know, the Rangers have a really good backup in Jonathan Quick. He wants $12 million. So what does that mean? They offered $11 million. He wants $12 million. They'll settle for $11.5 million at some point in time. But
so
that's why.
So the rumors of him wanting a 4 or 5 year deal are not true. He just wants the money, which is what I believe.
he wants to go to 12 million AAV. He would set the market for all goaltenders. And that's why there was a hesitation with Swayman, because he wanted Shesterkin to sign and say, okay, he's making this money. I want to make this money a little bit less. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I think it's not about the term. I think it's more about the AAV that you mentioned.
So they went from the conference final, and you think they go to the Stanley Cup final and win it this year?
Yeah, because I think a lot of these teams took a step backwards. I think Florida will. I think Toronto, I don't think, is built to win four rounds. And I think Tampa is a little too old, and they'll miss Steven Stamkos. Carolina, I think, has regressed a lot. They lost a lot on the blue line. I think by default, you know, if the Rangers' big guys score in a big spot in the playoffs, they can get there. They went to the conference final two of the last 3 years. They lost both times. I just think they're the most complete team right now as we start the season, and I don't think they'll add much of the deadline. They only added Riley Smith on right wing, and he's going to be probably over Kaapo Kakko. So I just like the fact that they've stayed intact, and I think this is the year. But their big guys in the big spot in the playoffs have to show up.
All right, you've already set the standard for a first show of the season with some of these comments that you – I mean, honestly, like through the roof. My head is sticking through the roof. You got to at least tell me how bad my Penguins are going to be to ruin my day fully.
They might win a wild card. They're not the top three in the Metro. I think they're going to regress. I'm like you, or I'm not a big believer in Jarry. I don't know why they gave him the extension. And it's another year, and it could score another 95 goals. What's Gino going to do? It's a team that's getting older. Because they went for it so many times on the Rutherford, Scotty, they don't really have a pipeline. They traded a lot of picks. So I think best case scenario, in as a wild card, unlike last season when they missed. But I think even if they get in as a wild card, Scotty, it's one round and out. I just don't like this team. I think it's too old. And I think, you know, Kyle Dubas, careful what you wish for. It's a very difficult job he's got in Pittsburgh.
You saw how good Dallas was last year. Are they going to be more of the same?
Yeah, I'd like the Dallas. I like Dallas to come out. I like Rangers and Dallas in the final. I just think they need better from Jake Oettinger. A lot of people pick them. If they had better play from Jake Oettinger in net last year, they would have been in the cup final, Scotty. So I really like Dallas coming out. They've got a complete four-line team, great depth on defense, really good coach behind the bench, and a great GM 2 years in a row, GM of the year, and Jim Mill. So if they have a need at the deadline, they might go get one.
So this guy comes on today, Elvis. He says there's 11,000 good seats. There's a few thousand bad seats that can't see the goal. You remember that when they played in Arizona at the beginning and you couldn't
America
see
the
goal at all?
Same thing. I mean, yeah, at America West. Same thing.
It was so embarrassing. I called a game there. Some guy threw a beer in my face. I'll never forget that. And I wanted to kill him. I went after him. I was going to jackrabbit him with about five shots of Jimmy Punch. Elvis, you're the best. I love you. Have fun at the game tonight in Salt Lake.
Love you, Scotty. It's always great to be
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, Carver High. Opening night in the NHL. It's all happening. You got the Bruins and Panthers raising the banner in Sunrise, where they're getting ready to get tattooed by Hurricane Milt. Your boy Milton, a Cat 5, going to blow through there Wednesday night into Thursday all over the Gulf Coast and all over the state of Florida, frankly, for that matter. Plus Chicago and Utah tonight. Elvis is at the new Utah Hockey Club home opener in Salt Lake Shakers.
Yeah, and as you guys were talking about, they've got that it's a basketball arena that they're playing in, you know, kind of like what the Islanders had to do in Brooklyn at the Barclays. You mentioned the America West when Arizona first went there to Phoenix, you know, so you got that weird setup where one end of the rink is almost like a wall behind the net and there's no fans there. It's going to be super bizarre, but the people in Utah are very excited. Sounds like the owner's going to do a hell of a job there, so God bless and good luck to them. Kraken, by the way, have scored twice in the second period. They lead the Blues 2-0 with about 12 minutes to go in the second there. Here's your first one. Bruins-Panthers, they put the banner up tonight in Sunrise. That's the second game of this triple header that they're going to have on the leader. Minus 155 now for Florida, plus $1.35 for the Bruins. 5.5 is the total.
Yeah, I mean, they're still really good. I don't care how much hockey they've played, and I don't care about Brandon Montour. and Tarasenko. Tarasenko was a piece added onto that team to win the cup. No doubt he helped him, but Tarasenko's old. And
yes,
that team is still really good, and I think they're better than the Bruins.
I think they're better than the Bruins as well. And I saw some crazy stat today about the Panthers, even when they suck, like they're like 10-0-2 in home openers or something over the last 12 years. Like for some reason, they play really well in Sunrise to kick things off.
And that's a big boy dance party there tonight with the banner and yes, the whole deal.
Indeed. And Chicago and Utah will be the late night game, 10 o'clock East, 8 local there. At the Delta for that first matchup in that arena. Right now, -$1.75 for Utah. That Blackhawks +150, 6.5 the total. Remember, this is not, you know, an expansion team. This is Arizona, just rebranded. All the guys that were on the Coyotes last year, you move them over to Utah. They made some additions. I think they're a fringe playoff team, and I think they're going to get a little juice playing in that building, Scotty. So I think they start their season with a win over the Blackhawks.
Well, they're better than the Blackhawks, that Arizona team. And the Blackhawks have Bedard, and really it trickles down from there to nothing else. So I would lean Utah.
There you go. So two games for you tonight. Tomorrow, a much thicker slate, including the Rangers and the Penguins. Hockey night in Pittsburgh at the PPG to get things going for their season.
I mean, honestly,
they should. And you and Denny brought this up. I mentioned it to you in a break earlier. I knew we were going to get to it. The Shesterkin thing. Now that was Weeksy who reported today that he turned down 8 for $88, which was the price. Now I had seen a story that it was about years, but I would take Denny over what I saw any day of the week. And yeah, Denny says it's money. He wants to get to 12 and get to 96. So that makes some sense to me as well, Sky. He'll be the highest paid goalie ever whenever that deal happens.
Yeah, I've never heard of a guy saying it's too many years on my contract. What it's always about is money.
Always about money, indeed. How about, here we go, odds to win the cup. First night of the season, odds to win it all, and I cannot believe that once again people are falling. They are falling for it. Again, at the start of a hockey season, they think that the Edmonton Oilers are going to win. And I get it. They were what? They were a game away last year. Game 7, Stanley Cup final, and Florida beat them. But I just don't see it. You know, we talk about this every year, don't we? How hard is it when you get all the way to the end and you lose, and you now have to go all the way back and get yourself there? Very difficult to do. No, you will not
Florida
see me get $1 on Edmonton this year. No shot.
Florida did it, and you know, but they're a different ilk, if you ask me, than Edmonton. I will not deny that Edmonton is deep and talented and fast and all the rest. But there seems to be some kind of malaise, like the Black Cloud Diner over that team. Like, how about how they were down 3-0, came all the way back and made a seventh game, right? And they still lost. They always seem to find a way to screw it up. And it's almost like the Leafs. They always screw it up. So the only one on there that I think, you know, makes sense is what Denny was saying. Like the Rangers at 13-1. They were in the conference final. How do you give them that price? How do you have the New Jersey Devils at 11-1 odds over the Rangers? The Rangers
nonsense
are so much better than the Devils, it's not even funny. The Devils were awful last year. You're telling me they got Markstrom and they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals? My ass.
It is nonsense that the Devils are ahead of the Rangers on that Stanley Cup board. Absolute nonsense. It makes no sense to me. And I'll tell you a team a little further down, and they got a little bit more spotlight on them this year because of the moves that they made. But 16-1 for Nashville. They were a good team last year. Saros is a good goalie. I think they're coached well. You add Stamkos and Marchessault to that mix, guys
who
have won cups.
That's a great call.
That's a team that I think I'd take a little shot at earlier in the year here at 16-1 with Nashville.
Yeah, and that's a team to bet on the regularly.
Yeah. Yep. I think so. So Nashville, I'm going to keep my eye on. In fact, before they play, I'm going to get myself my Nashville ticket for the season and make sure I'm locked in there at 16-1. Okay. I'm going to back them a little bit there. All right, we'll come back. I have some college news for you that I'll put into the leftovers today. Most of the college stuff I actually, and I'll do the college game tonight as part of the leftovers as well, because there is a Tuesday night college football game with FIU and Liberty. So I'll give you those numbers, a few stories, and some other leftovers before
Liberty's we leave. Pretty good. They're 4-0, and Pitbull's team, I think, is 2-3, and they're laying Pitbull's a big piece down there at Liberty.
Pitbull's team.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver High, what about tonight? We got Pitbull's team against Liberty.
Pitbull's team against Liberty. FIU heads down there to that Williams Stadium in Virginia to take on the Flames. 16.5 for Liberty right now. The favorites at home, 55.5 is the total for tonight.
They got to rake FIU. They really do.
They should, right? I mean, FIU stinks. Yeah, like FIU's bad. They lost to somebody real. You know, they lost to Monmouth. Think about that. FIU.
I didn't know Monmouth had a football team.
They lost to Monmouth. You know, that's enough right there for me to say, yeah, Liberty should smash them tonight. So there you go. One college football game. How about this one? When does it end at this place? Georgia wide receiver Colby Young arrested on misdemeanor charges of battery assault and assault on an unborn child. First of all, at least it wasn't a car thing, right? I mean, it never ends with Georgia right. And their problems with that program. What is Kirby doing down there?
So, listen, your boy Colby allegedly, what was he, pummeling some pregnant chick? Like, like, what are you doing? Yeah. You're beating up pregnant chicks, bro. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, how much juice are you on that you beat up a chick? But how about topping it off with some chick that's pregnant and you're beating her? You are finished playing football at Georgia. The guy assaulted a pregnant chick. Some guy did that in New York like a week ago. He beat up a pregnant chick. Like, what in the F is wrong with people?
In fact, it kind of just makes you, like, why hasn't, like, Georgia should have put the press release out like an hour after he was arrested and just said, he's not on the team anymore. Like, don't come to us. Like, he's really, you know, he's off. He's off the team. He's not on the team anymore. That's what they should do. I don't think they've done that yet. And it's been a couple of hours since that's gone through. They do. A study says that angry bettors are behind the growing abuse of NCAA athletes. We've talked about this a lot recently. There are morons out there who cannot control themselves and threaten these kids when their bets don't hit.
When, remember Angry Birds? They should call them Angry Bettors now. They're out there and they were attacking Rodon last night, and threatening his wife and his kids. And, you know, they were going to kill his children. People saying we're going to kill your kids. Like, what is wrong with people? Like, I don't ever think like this. Like, you've got to be effing demented. Like, the things that I see on the news. Like, we're in New York. Here's how it goes. Murder, 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 rape. Someone shoved in front of a train. Weather. And a one-minute sportscast.
That is the news now on a nightly basis around
day,
here.
Every
it's
day.
Very sad. That's for sure. You already talked about this WNBA game with Coach. I guess, who's going to win? The Connecticut,
Lynx.
I guess? Is that who you
think?
Sure. The Lynx tonight. Okay, the Lynx.
Lynx tonight,
The NBA GM survey is out ahead of the new season. They say the Celtics will win the title and SGA will win the MVP.
Hey,
well, man, that would be nice to get somebody different in there, that's for sure. The Miami Heat are going to name their court after Pat Riley because they haven't done enough for him in Miami. They got to name the court after him as well.
Remember when they had the Riley haircut?
Malcolm
days.
Brogdon of the Wizards undergoes surgery to repair a thumb ligament. Shams Charania will replace Woj as the ESPN NBA insider. God bless and good luck to him in that.
I love how they make the reporter news now.
I know. Well, they had to have an interview with Woj yesterday, talking about him having his old job. They had to give a big interview with him to talk about him having the job.
That's embarrassing. It really is. Yeah. Like, Shams is good. Woj is great. We all get it. But interviewing him about the guy replacing him, I mean, what is next? How about a 24 hours of Le Mans with Woj at his new job at St. Bonaventure that nobody gives a rat's ass about? I mean, honestly.
There you go. All right. There's the leftovers.
Finish. Louis Tiant gone at 83. Was there anything cooler than watching Louis Tiant pitch? Teenager allegedly killed his sister over a simple note about flushing the toilet. My man was not having any of her nonsense, so he killed her. Ex-cop kidnapped vulnerable teen girl, fed her meth, and molested her in a sick, demented plot. That just sounds sick. GTD is next. Go to VerellaNavenge.com. Enjoy the hockey tonight and the baseball and the college football. We'll see you tomorrow at 3. Coast to coast.